We begin reading in the book of Job, chapter 19. I'll read verses 25 through 27. Job 19, 25 through 27. From these verses, we will consider Job's testimony and Job's expectation. Job's testimony and Job's expectation. Now, Job chapter 20, verses 25 through 27. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold and not another, though my reins shall be consumed within me. And the Lord will add his blessing, the reading of his public word. Job's testimony. He says here in this text, for I know that my Redeemer liveth. This is Job's testimony. For I know that my Redeemer liveth. The first thing to be drawn from Job's testimony is that his sin was dealt with. He says, my Redeemer liveth. A Redeemer is one who rescues someone else. The word to redeem means to buy back or to pay a fee, to pay a debt that another owes, to be a rescuer, a redeemer. Jesus Christ, the Redeemer, redeems from sin, from death, from hell. He said, I know my Redeemer liveth. In Galatians chapter 3 and verse 13 it says, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree. And I ask you, is this your testimony? Redeemed or rescued from the curse of the law? The law condemns you. The law says you're guilty. The law says you must needs be punished. And the law, being an eternal law, requires an eternal punishment. The curse of the law says you must die. But Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. He was made a curse. He was hanged on the tree. He was hanged at Calvary. And then in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7, we read Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7, a few pages over from the book of Galatians. In whom Christ Jesus, in whom we have redemption. In Christ Jesus we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. The forgiveness of sins through his blood. The rescuer, the redeemer, shed his blood that we might have our sins forgiven. This assumes that we carry sins with us. Sin is the transgression of the law, broken law, stealing, lying, disobedience to parents, covetousness, the wickedness of the mind, or the thinking through the sins of the flesh in the mind, though not carrying out the act, or that which precedes the sins of the flesh carried on in the mind. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Who can say I've never done such a thing ever, used his name in a manner that's just common or ordinary, just like Joe across the way or Susie down the street. God is just one of us. Use his name in such a fashion is to use his name in vain, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin. There is no other forgiveness of sin. This is Job's testimony. He said, "My Redeemer liveth." Is this your testimony? Delivered from the curse of the law, your sins forgiven. Through the person, the blood, and the work of Jesus Christ. Again, we read in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 11, a few more pages over in the New Testament, Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 11. But Christ, being come in high priest of good things to come, neither by the blood of bulls and goats, of bulls and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Jesus Christ himself entering in on behalf of sinners, entering into the most holy place, into the presence of the most holy God, the sinless Son of God, entering in with his own blood into the presence of the living God, to obtain eternal redemption, an eternal rescue from an eternal punishment. This is Job's testimony. I know my Redeemer liveth. Is this your testimony? How much more shall the blood of Christ purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Well, this Redeemer that enables his people to serve him with a clean conscience. Is this your testimony, I ask? This was Job's testimony. My Redeemer liveth. Well, in his testimony, we are also introduced to his Savior, Job's Savior. The second part of Job's testimony, I know that my Redeemer liveth. John chapter 1 and verse 24. They which were sent to the Pharisees, they asked John the Baptist, they asked, these men came to John the Baptist, and they said to him, "Why baptizest thou then? If thou be not that Christ, nor Elias, neither that prophet." "Why do you baptize?" John said. "I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom ye know not. He it is who is coming after me, is preferred before me, whose shoe latchet I am not worthy to unloose." And the next day, John seeth Jesus coming and saith, "Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world." On the previous day, John had said, "There's one amongst you and you don't know who he is." The next day, on this occasion, John says, "I'm going to tell you who I mentioned yesterday. He's here. He's now here and he's in our midst." And he points out Jesus Christ and he says, "Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me cometh a man which is preferred before me." There's one coming who is more important than me. For he was before me. Now John Baptist, John was born about 3 months before Jesus Christ. This would have been known. They would have known. Their parents would have made this known. They were cousins. And John was a little older in the flesh than Jesus Christ was, but John says of Jesus, "He was before me, not only in importance, I'm not worthy to unlatch his shoe, but he was before me in existence." Job said, "I know that my Redeemer liveth." Even before John the Baptist lived, before John the Baptist was born, before the person of Jesus Christ was born of Mary, John says, "He was before me." Job's Savior was alive in eternity past. He lived amongst men. Is this Savior your Savior? We turn to Matthew chapter 28 and verse 1. And in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. Behold, there was an earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. The angel said to the women, "Fear not, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said, 'Come, see the place where the Lord lay.'" Job knew this one. He said, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth." He lived in eternity past. He lived before John Baptist, before John baptized, before he walked among men as the Son of Mary. He was crucified. And here the angel tells these women, "He is not here. He is not in the tomb. He rolled back the stone. He sat on the stone that had covered the tomb. And he said, 'Come and look. See the place where the Lord lay.' And note, he's not here, for he is risen." What is Job's testimony? He says, "I know that my Redeemer liveth." Is this your testimony? We read the words of Jesus Christ himself in Revelation chapter 1. We begin in verse 12. "And I turned to see the voice that spake with me." This is John writing. John the Apostle writing now. John writing in the book of the Revelation, he turned see the voice that spoke with him. And then we move down to verse 17, and John says, "And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand on me, saying unto me, 'Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore.'" Amen. What is Job's testimony? "I know that my Redeemer liveth." And not for just a little time, but he liveth forevermore. Is this your testimony? And now we have Job's expectation. Job expects to die. And he expects to see God. First, we see that he expects to die. Job says, "Though after my skin, worms destroy this body." Worms destroy this body. "And as it is appointed unto man, once to die." Job has lost his fortune. 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 she asses, and a very great household. He lost his 7 sons, 3 daughters, all of his children. Lost fellowship with his wife, his life's companion. For she said to him, in his grief, "Dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die." I say he lost fellowship with his wife. He lost his prestige. This man was the greatest of all the men of the East. He lost his health. Satan smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown. what is left to look forward to? In a matter of just a few days at the very most, all of this calamity comes upon Job. He's going to die. It is appointed. He has nothing in this life to anticipate. Well, it's not how the story ends. I know, I understand. But picture him there on his heap of ashes with a piece of pottery scraping the boils that are running in his flesh. What else does he have? For all that he could see, what did he have to look forward to? There was Job. Can you picture him? Just a couple of days before he's here on this ash heap and scraping the boils in his flesh. Can you picture his life? Well, I'll walk my daughters down the aisle. He had three of them. Looking forward to this day, this is a special occasion the man would look forward to with his daughters. I'll walk them down the aisle. Well, I'll see my sons established in their life's work, fearing God, hard-working men of integrity. I'll bounce my grandchildren on my knee. I'll sit with my wife and a cup of coffee at the breakfast table. We'll recount the blessings of the Lord. This woman who just said, curse God, die. I'll sit down with the lawyer and I'll divide my inheritance amongst the children. It's so much to pass on to them, this portion to this one and this one. And my three daughters are so much of gifts to give to them and their husbands. It's all gone. All of it's gone. Well, after my skin, worms destroy this body. What do you have to look forward to? Lift this out of Job's world and into our own here this evening. What would it be that you would expect with that which is before you in this life? As far as you can see, what do you anticipate? Still a few things, perhaps, that you would like to do. A few relationships you would like to see mended. Or maybe some that you have now that are good relationships, you would love to see them flourish the more. A little more time with your husband, with a wife, with a son, with a daughter. A little more time with a close friend. One thing is certain. Death is not far off. And your flesh is no different than any other man's flesh. Ashes to ashes and dust to dust. What is your expectation? Job expects to die and he expects his flesh to be eaten of the worms. But Job is not through with his expectation. He expects to die, but he expects to live. He is expecting, he is anticipating another day. He will die and the worms will eat his flesh. And he says, yet in my flesh, I will see God. My flesh will be eaten of the worms, but in my flesh, I will see God. This is what Job is expecting. We turn again to the New Testament in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 14. We begin reading in verse 14. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again. Even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord. Paul says, I give you this confidence, all the authority of the living God by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and the trump of God shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. We shall ever be with the Lord. How can it be? These bodies eaten up of the worms. But according to the Word of God, the dead in Christ shall rise, and we shall ever be with the Lord. Thy thoughts shall feast upon the living Christ. And then 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 52, we begin reading. Notice Paul's words. They could be placed in a hymnal. I'm sure they have been placed in the hymnal. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. This corruptible must put on incorruption. Are you looking for it? Job saw it. By faith he believed, he expected, he anticipated that this corruptible, death, worm he eats the flesh, this corruptible shall put on incorruption. This mortal must put on immortality. Then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. And thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We turn to one more scripture. I say Job saw it. Job's expectation was to die. His expectation was for his flesh to be eaten of the worms, the rot become the dust of the earth. Your expectation ought to be the same expectation, but it ought not to stop with that expectation. For we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 12, for we see through a glass darkly. We see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. But then we see face to face. What did Job say? He said, I shall see my God in the flesh. I shall see my God in the flesh. My eye will see Him. It's not some kind of a spirit thing that's in heaven that sees God, but my flesh will see God, an incorruptible flesh, a flesh that will live for all eternity, a redeemed flesh. A flesh washed in the blood of the Lamb. A flesh to live for all eternity. Shall see Him face to face. Job says, in my flesh I shall see God. Do you share Job's expectation? That I'll see God in my flesh. You cannot see Job's or enjoy Job's expectation or claim Job's expectation unless you share his testimony that your sins are forgiven by the blood of Christ, that you are redeemed by the Christ who was hanged on a tree and suffered the wrath of God there. You cannot share his expectation unless you share his testimony. Is this where you are now? Where you would say, and you would say with Job, for I know that my Redeemer liveth. Though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh I shall see God. Job's testimony and Job's expectation. Are they both yours? Are they both yours now? Life is short. Passes all too quickly. Death is not far from any one of us. Is this your testimony and your expectation even now? Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the glory of Jesus Christ as it's revealed in your word, for that which is set forth before us tonight. Bless us and draw us close to the person of Jesus Christ, that each one here in this place cast their all upon him. In Jesus' name, amen. If you've not come to Jesus Christ as the Savior of your soul, the Savior to deliver you from the power of sin and from hell, then I urge you to call upon him even now.